the word Eli mean? Explains the Rav, Eli Tzion means to continue to mourn. To continue to mourn for Tzion. At the conclusion of Kinos, we are ready to close the book. We are ready to leave. We chant Eli Tzion. The recitation of Kinos should not end. Rather, Eli Tzion will continue to mourn for Zion until the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. One who realizes the loss of the Beit HaMikdash cannot be satisfied and comforted just by reciting Kinos. Rather, we have to continue to mourn and even cry without words. We have to continuously ponder the reasons as to why in our generation the Beit HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, for as we know the rabbis tell us, in every generation that the Beit HaMikdash is not rebuilt, that generation bears the responsibility for the destruction. The next verse continues, Kamo isha b'tzireha, as a woman in the throes of childbirth. You cannot command a woman in labor not to cry out in pain. I don't recommend it. Since the natural reaction of experiencing such intense pain is to cry out, it is inevitable and it is unavoidable. Similarly, Jews can't cease to mourn for Yerushalayim until such time as the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. And as long as Yerushalayim is under this, and the Har HaBayis is under the dominion of foreigners, we cannot stop crying. Eli Tzion, our crying is uncontrollable. It's as futile as silencing a woman in labor, or as silencing a newlywed from grieving over her groom. As the verse continues, V'chivtzu l'chagurasak al ba'anu reha. One who silences these two individuals is cruel and insensitive. Why these two ladies? Why are they being depicted as the paradynamic figures of human suffering and tragedy? I've been discussing this kina now for, unfortunately, too many years. This year when I began preparing, it occurred to me that perhaps it is in fact referenced in a Gemara, a well-known Gemara that deals with the Churban HaBayis. The Gemara is found on Daf Nun Vav Mud Beis, Maseches Gittin. Describes the very end, the siege of Jerusalem. Life was quite desperate for the Jewish community there. And in fact, there is an argument, the Biryonim and the Chachamim were at a stalemate. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem, and there was very little hope. The Biryonim suggested fighting and trying to defeat the Romans. The sages seemed to have disagreed. The Biryonim, to advance their cause, what did they do? They destroyed the entire food supply in order to advance their agenda, almost placing everyone into sheer panic and really providing them with only one option, was to fight, for they had nothing left. A clear example of machlokas and hatred and infighting, which of course led to, well, perhaps there was already a churban, there was already, Jerusalem was in many ways already destroyed, for the physical edifice of the temple was destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gets into a coffin, pretends to be dead. He approaches the Roman general Vespasian and calls him an emperor. Soon after, Vespasian finds out that he had actually been appointed emperor. This impresses Vespasian tremendously, and he offers Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai three wishes. Well, I don't think he was able to ask for more wishes. That was, I think, part of the deal. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai respond? He says, of course, Tein li yavne v'chachameha. V'shulashta de Rabbi Gamliel, which was, he was connected to Malchus Beis David. Vasvasa de Meisenle de Rabbi Akiva. He asked for three things. Number one, Yavne chachameha. Provide me to ensure the little enclave in Yavne and its rabbis, they should not be touched. They should be left alone to live. Ensure that the house of Rabbi Gamliel, which, as I said, continues to the genealogy of King David, let them survive, as well as for a doctor to heal Rav Tzada. These three things, what are they all about? Number one, clearly, our heartbeat, our pulse, is the Torah. It's our soul, it's our definition. knowing that we couldn't have Jerusalem, Yochanan Zakkai's first request was Tenuli Yavne v'Chachameha. As long as we have the Torah, we can have Jewish survival. And we know the yeshiva there was called Keren B'Yavne, which is filled with irony. It's ironic because Yavne is in fact filled with sand dunes. It is anything but suitable to build and plant a vineyard. You cannot plant a vineyard in Yavne, but they did. The vineyard, of course, was filled with Torah, because Torah can be planted anywhere, in any environment, even one that is not suited for it. That clearly is the message of Tenuli Yavne v'Chachameha, that the Jewish people needed to hear after the destruction. Well, Soloveitchik said once that if he could make a 14th Ani Mamin, it would be that Torah is transportable anywhere. That is something that we always have to believe. But what about the last two requests? What was their intent? Perhaps these two requests are very much like our two women in our last kina. Number one, we have to remember the glory. The glory, Rabbi Gamliel, connected to the great lineage of King David. Jerusalem, the family that can trace back to Malchus Beis David. That is in fact Zecher LeMikdash. We have to remind ourselves, what was so great, what was so spectacular about Jerusalem, about the Beit HaMikdash? The singing, the joy, the celebration, the majesty. Throngs of people coming to celebrate, just to be there. Just to see the Kohanim and the Levim perform the Avodah. That perhaps is connected to that lady in the throngs of childbirth. After all, she's almost about to go through a moment of tremendous simcha. They're not really tears of pain, but in many ways, they're tears of joy. We need to be able to celebrate with the Jewish people. A challenge that we have often is, are we able to truly celebrate simchas with others? Are we truly happy when we hear that someone else gets engaged or married or has a child? Maybe I don't have that in my own life, so it's hard for me to celebrate someone else's joy, to celebrate someone else's simcha. Perhaps the message of this kina is that we need to learn how to celebrate the simchas, the smachot of others. And doctor to heal Rav Tzadok. Who is Rav Tzadok? Rav Tzadok, in fact, fasted for 40 years. He had a tremendous life that was dedicated towards lamenting and crying over the Chorban. We need to remember the enormity and the tragedy has to also be at the center of our consciousness. Preserve the person who mourned and who lamented. Because we sit on the floor and lament, it will allow us to see that bright future one day. The enormity of tragedy also as with the center of our consciousness. And sometimes we find it hard to be able to mourn. It's hard to have a day like Tisha B'Av. That's why we need Rav Tzadok. That's perhaps that personality that we have to connect with, of suffering, of sadness. We have to know how to cry, learn how to cry, join the Jewish people in this national day of mourning. To learn to be Mis'abel on Yerushalayim. These are these two personalities, these two facets of life. We have to learn how to celebrate, we have to learn how to mourn. There are many Jews today who enjoy participating in the glory of what Israel has to offer. The food, the scenery, the kotel. They don't want to hear about the tragedies, the difficulties that take place, the struggles that are taking place on the Gaza border today. They want to know about how difficult it is sometimes to live in Israel. They don't want to hear the story of Sergeant Eliyahu Dwori, who at the age of 20, a student, Yeshivat Hezder in Shalavim, was an IDF soldier, was killed in operation just a few months ago. He was described by his mashkiach. Eliyahu was full of joy and had a heart of gold. The will that he had left us all to continue advancing and building personally, and building the Torah for the people in our land of Israel. His tank crew was called to a scene. The IDF received information that it was a smuggling attempt from Egypt. And something that's not quite clear what happened, but the tank began sliding down an incline, and its shell exploded, and he perished. Or the 12 victims of terror that have passed away since last Tisha B'Av. Highlight just one of them. Rabbi Raziel Shavach. He was 35 years old. He was a father of six in the West Bank settlement, an outpost of Chovat Gilad. He was killed on January 9th in 2008 in a drive-by shooting on the road near his home. He was killed, literally, when terrorists opened fire on his car. He was a mohel, was a volunteer of Magen David Adom. He was remembered by his friends and acquaintances as an incredibly good-hearted man who was a central figure in his local yeshuv, and he truly was responsible for building up much of the yeshuv himself. He was survived by his wife, Yael, and their six children. Crying not just for the Beis HaMikdash, not just for these two women, we also cry for many things that we've all been referencing this morning. We end kinos, not with answers, not a sense of intellectual optimism that we've finally figured it all out. For who can be blamed for the death of millions and millions of innocent Jewish babies who have perished over the years with their gas chambers, inquisitions, pogroms? Why is the reason why teenage boys or men in the height of their glory get murdered by our enemies? Elitzion will continue to mourn and cry. We will soon rise for the first time today to chant this kina. And are we rising because we are looking for someone to wipe away our tears? Do we rise as if to greet the Mashiach who will be born today? Or are we rising as if to try and confront the Almighty and say, enough, enough? Or maybe, just maybe, to get up, to connect to the person, the people around us, to look them in the eye, to see their faces, to feel someone else's suffering. That's the key to the redemption, to the geula. People suffer. Do we listen? Are we attentive? Do we connect? Do we have all the answers? We do not. We can always open our hearts to listen. That maybe is the message of the Paitan. And finally, to paraphrase a pasuk in Micha, Ki nafalti kamti choshech. A Jew has to know how to fall. It's part of life. We have to know how to wipe off the mud. Perhaps that's in fact the miracle of Tisha B'Av. The miracle of Tisha B'Av is that we can still stand up after falling. May our endless tears and mourning end soon. May be comforted by both fellow man and the Menachem Tzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Chiv to La Chagura.